Every year I know we gonna go hard. We been that team ever since Bart Starr. All my cheese heads go pack go. Ain't showing no mercy, cutting no slack.
All right, welcome to Lombardi's Legends Podcast. Dane here with Wags. And what a tough loss that was against the Minnesota Vikings. I hate losing to the Vikings anytime, but the way they lost that one was a tough one, I think, to swallow, Wags. We'll get into it. But how are you feeling on this Monday evening?
Yeah, Dane, you know, we're 8-3. We're still in the driver's seat for the division. And I think sometimes when you lose, it's just good to take a step back and look at the big picture. And I was listening to some of the post-game radio show yesterday, and I think for the most part, most of Packer fans that were calling in had a pretty good perspective on this game. There were a few folks that were kind of, overreacting a little bit too much, in my opinion. But I think big picture, it's not that big of a deal. One of the things that's we were just talking about before we got on that's really gut-wrenching, I think, more than anything, is another big injury to one of our key guys in Elgton Jenkins. Now confirmed he's out for the season with ACL injury. So, Dane, I think that's the worst news to come out of this week by far, in my opinion, because we haven't locked the division yet, but just looking at the schedule, and we've got the bye coming up after this week, I think we're still in obviously in the driver's seat, and the schedule lightens a little bit. So I think we're still in a really, really good position overall, but it's just pretty gut wrenching, right? To lose another key guy and just feel badly for Elgton Jenkins. He's kind of taking that step to becoming basically a star in this league.
Yeah. It's gut wrenching. It makes me kind of sick because these ACL injuries are, it's not like, okay, we'll see in training camp, young man. Some of these, even with modern medicine, it's sometimes can be a while, as we're seeing right now with David Bakhtiari. I mean, Bakhtiari, some of us, even if this is completely was off base, clearly it was, we were hopeful maybe Bach would be back to start the season. And, you know, now we're sitting here where Thanksgiving's coming up. David's still not back. And they're saying maybe in December now he's able to come back. And it's just, you know, it's not a toughness thing with Bach. It's just either you go or you can't go, or especially with the ACL. So, to see Robert go down, Tonyan with this ACL, and now also Elgton Jenkins. I mean, these are two young, bright stars. Elgton Jenkins, potentially one of the best offensive linemen in football. Over the next couple of years, the fact that he's out makes me sick to my stomach, Wags, because it's going to be a while before we see him big 74 back in green and gold and shoulder pads. So, not a lot of good I thought really came out of this game. I'm not going to lie. I was hopeful. And I don't want this to be a pity party. It's one game. But, the injury really stinks, and the kicking woes continue. And I think that those are probably my two biggest takeaways. On the negative side was Elton's injury and Mason Crosby. So I think maybe we start there. We don't talk offense, defense. I'm curious, what's going on with Mason? He's missed eight now. You asked me a couple weeks ago, should we sound the alarm? I said we were getting close, but no alarm yet. I'll tell you what, I thought that Steve Wirtle, the long snapper, continues to struggle. Bohorquez had to go and like get that ball the first punt of the game. I thought that the ball looked wobbly on one of the field goal attempts as well. And, Mason missed what I think is kind of a gimme, what we would expect from Mason Crosby over the course of his career. So I'm not asking you where do we go from here, but do you have any thoughts at all that haven't been covered yet? Or, how concerned should we be? Because I'm pretty darn concerned at this point about Mason Crosby and this kicking unit as a whole.
Well, yeah. I mean, we don't know if we would have won the game, but we lost by 3 points and he missed a chip shot field goal. So we don't know where to go from here. I mean, we've seen this a few years ago when McCarthy was still on the head job and he stuck with Mason Crosby a different point in his career. Now, I'm not suggesting it's time to cut Mason Crosby in the middle of the season. I don't really think you have anything else to do but ride this out. It's kind of confounding to me because I guess I don't understand how a guy that can be that consistent for this long and it's not a physical thing, why all of a sudden he's having all these mental issues? And that's what it is to me. It's clearly all mental. The most frustrating thing about it is you think he might be getting over the top. He hits a 54-yard field goal in his first attempt. If anything, no one should really blame him if he missed that one, right? He hits that, and I'm kind of thinking, I don't know about you, Dane, but I'm kind of thinking, all right, maybe he's over. Like, that's the type of kick you make, and you think, you know, that can cure some of the ills that you've been seeing. And then he misses a chip shot. So I don't know what you do aside from just keep trotting him out there, and it's just got to get better. The protection has been better the last couple of weeks. The snaps have been okay. I think the hold's been okay. We've had not perfect snaps, I think, more so on the punts than we have on the field goals, to be honest with you. But I'm a little speechless because I don't really know what else to say other than you just got to like keep trotting Mason out there. And this is a guy that's been in this league for what? This is his 16th season in the league. He just got to hope that he just gets better. And I realize that that isn't necessarily a great insight or a solution that folks may want to hear, but there's not really a whole lot of other options. I mean, granted, we've had JJ Molson on the practice squad now for 2 years, a young guy that out of UCLA, we've had him on the podcast and he's got the leg, but I don't see the Packers right now, you know, sitting Mason and turning to JJ Molson. Do you?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. So it's a good segue. I mean, I don't think I see that happening. And I do wonder, especially if it's a mental, you know, if it's kind of a mental block at this point for Mace, if it does any good, right, to have him sit in it more. You've got to wonder if the Packers' strategy at this point is just to try to have him kick out of it, for lack of a better term. It's kind of, think of like shooting in basketball. Guys go cold, and some of the best ones will try to shoot out of it. You know, maybe Crosby, that's the goal, because if he sits for a week, they could theoretically call up J.J. Molson, right? They've protected him every single week this year. Packers clearly don't want him to get signed away by another team at this point. So theoretically, they could call up J.J. for one of these two spots, and he could swing the leg for a week just to, you know, give Mason a chance to rest a little bit and think about it. But I don't think that's really helpful, to be honest with you, at this point, because if it is mental, what's that really doing other than having him think through it even more?
I mean, here's your other options, and I don't know if any of these things help. You know, if you've got a guy like J.J. Molson, if you can spare an extra active spot on the game day roster, which I really don't think you can, you can bring him up and he can do the kickoffs, if nothing else. And that's one last thing that Mason Crosby has to concern himself with. I'm not sure if Borriquez can do kickoffs, but they may. So perhaps if he can, that's an option. What that has to do with field goals, not a lot, but it's one last thing that Mason needs to deal with, right? And to be honest with you, I don't really need Mason having to track down the field. Luckily, our protection on kickoffs has been good. Our coverage has been good. So he hasn't had to do a lot of work there. But that's one thing. Or we could go back and change snappers again. Or if we've got another option for someone else to do the holding. The thing is, though, is the more you tinker with this, that doesn't necessarily solve problems. I mean, this is a repetition thing too, so that chemistry at those spots is important. But with the bye week coming up, I think it would behoove the Packers and Coach Drayton, a special teams coordinator, to be looking at all options, to be honest with you. So, you know, I hear what you're saying, Dane. I don't think that that Mason is getting sat for a week or whatever it is. But I think some of those other options could be on the table for sure. And the thing is it's easy to say, well, he just has to kick through it, but you know, and it's not a bad analogy, but a lot of times you're only getting one or two field goal attempts in a game. So there's not a lot of margin for error. You've got to go out there and his job is to make those kicks. There's no other way around it. He's got a 33-yard field goal. he's got to make that 99% of the time. And right now that's not happening. Mm-hmm. So that's a problem, and it's costing us opportunities to win game. It's not the reason we're losing games, but it's not helping. And that's a problem. So you said at the top, Dane, we might need to vent a little bit. I think that's one of the things, and we're normally pretty positive. We try not to, jump off a cliff when Packers lose a game, but it might help a little bit to highlight a couple of things. Let's just jump around a little bit. I think there was a lot of people frustrated with the defense yesterday, and it wasn't obviously our best performance. Coming off of three stellar performances against Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals, against Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City Chiefs, and then obviously shutting out Russell Wilson and Seattle Seahawks. And, you know, to me, it's just one of those things where game flow kind of matters. There were some things that happened in this game, and I don't want to take any credit away from the Vikings, but let's be honest, we could have had 3, 4, 5 interceptions of Kirk Cousins in this game, or at least we had that many opportunities where realistically we could have come away with an interception. They had the ball on the turf. It looked like we could have picked up the ball when they had a sack fumble. So there was a lot of things that if we just get our hands on the football, and yeah, woulda, coulda, shoulda. That's the reality. This could have been a completely different game. This played out exactly how I think, you know, when we previewed it, we kind of expected it might. A tired team. We had some injuries, especially on the defensive side, that are just piling up. If anything, I'm really proud of our D-line and outside linebackers, the way that they were able to step in and get pretty good pressure on Kirk Cousins for most of the day. But there was just a lot of 50-50 balls that seemed to go the Vikings' way. And sometimes it goes that way. And we do need to be better in some of those situations. But there's no doubt that, you know, if we were, they're not going to put up 34 points. And I think we would have gone in there and stolen the win.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, you know who's been really impressive, I think, this year overall has been Preston Smith. He's been really good this year. And I don't think that he gets quite as much credit maybe as some of the other players. Obviously, Rashawn Gary's emergence has been phenomenal. And Campbell has been ridiculous in the middle of the field. Kenny Clark, by the way, yesterday, holy smokes, he was manhandling the middle of that Minnesota Vikings offensive line. But, I thought that Preston looked really good, not only in pass rush situations, but also was just in the right position at the right time against Dalvin Cook. If I recall, in the second series of the game, I think he had like 2 tackles for a loss just right away. So he's just setting the tone. And I feel like he's playing more within himself this year than maybe he did last year. I feel like last year wasn't in the best position at all times by the coaching staff. I don't think they're utilizing him to his skill set. And then I think that the second half of the year, he was pressing and maybe he was trying a little too hard to make up for a tough first half. This year, he's just been outstanding. So I thought that he was really good, looking on the positive side. And then Tipa Nalei, holy smokes, good for Tipa, comes off the practice squad. He's been within the organization now for a couple of years. And, not only rushing passer Wags, where I thought he did a very good job, but what really surprised me was how sound he was against the run. Did he make a couple young mistakes? Yeah, he did. But overall, I thought he made some impact plays as well. He had a tackle that stopped the Vikings on third down a few inches short, made the Vikings punt. He just made his presence known, and he seemed to be all over and around the ball. And that's something that you can't really teach all the time. Some guys just have a way of finding their way around the ball. So I was really impressed, I thought, with both of them. On the flip side, Wags, the corners yesterday, I thought had a pretty tough outing. Kevin King, I thought, yet again. But Eric Stokes is somebody that he's going to be a good corner He's really going to be a good corner. I like Eric Stokes, because I think he's a pretty good corner already. They've pressed him in against some of the best receivers in football, and Justin Jefferson, no doubt about, is one of those guys. The hard thing to watch a little bit at times with Eric Stokes so far in his young career is he does all the things right, the hard stuff. He sticks with the wide receiver, and then he loses track of the ball in the air a little bit. And he's having a hard time, I think, right now tracking the ball when it's in the air. There are a couple times there, Wags, where I thought his coverage was really good, but he doesn't turn. And when he's not able to turn, he just gets beat. And I thought Jefferson was able to exploit that a few times. I think that's something Minnesota saw on tape as well. They decided to attack Stokes through the air deep a fair number of times. And I think it's going back some of the other games, we could see some of those challenges he has tracking the ball as well. So those are a couple of guys I thought had particularly rough games, but it's not unique to that. I really would have liked Savage to be able to squeeze a couple of those interceptions. We had those opportunities, as you said. The good side of all this is they had all these chances. They played a pretty bad game, I thought, overall defensively, and they still had a chance to win this thing near the end. The tough truth, though, is anytime you have a chance to go on the road and beat a division rival and kind of shut the door on their season, which would have been really nice, they weren't able to do that. And that's just something we're going to have to live with the rest of the year.
Yeah. And you mentioned Kevin King. I was going to highlight some of the positives.
Yeah.
There weren't a lot, and I was going to highlight some of the negatives. So I completely agree with you. I don't need to repeat everything you said, but Kevin King actually only got 26 snaps, and it was Rasul Douglas after about the second series that was getting majority of the snaps out there. And I thought he did okay. It wasn't his best performance as a Packer either, but, one of the more frustrating plays, obviously, because there was so much on the line at the time, was in that last series for the Vikings. And Rasul Douglas had really good coverage, in my opinion, on Thielen. And that was one of those ill-advised passes that Cousins threw up. And unfortunately, Rasul just turned the wrong way while the ball was in the air. Because if he turns the other direction, it's going to go right into his hands. And he's probably taking that the other way for six, yeah. Dane. And again, I don't want to take anything. Well, maybe I do want to take stuff away from the Vikings. We hate the Vikings. But it's when plays like that, when it's just dumb decisions that are made and we were not able to make them pay for it, I think that's what's probably the most frustrating thing for us and for other Packer fans out there, because it felt like that was a game that quite literally slipped through our hands in many ways out there, especially for the defensive side of the ball.
Wags, I mentioned Tipa. Were you as impressed as I was? We got to look at some of the positive too here. He's going to earn a role, I think, as this season continues. Or do you disagree there? I thought for a young guy, he looked fresh too. And I thought overall, the defense looked pretty tired, especially the second half. We lost a lot of our pass rush punch that second half. They looked gassed, I thought, yesterday. LaFleur, even before the Vikings game, said that, this is a team that needs a bye. I think he's right, but that fourth quarter, they just weren't getting any push, I thought, on Cousins. A lot of the pass rush dropped off, and I think part of that is just this is kind of a walking wounded team at this point. So Tipa was, a nice breath of fresh air, getting some fresh legs in there to rush the passer.
Yeah, and Shadid Kelly commenting on here on our Facebook channel that I can't stand those Vikes. Yeah, we're right there.
We're right there with you, Shadid.
Trust us. So, and I think you're right, Dane. When you look at some of the positives, Tipa, obviously, this is his first game. So I'm sure that he probably had some extra motivation out there. But fresh legs this time of year, for sure. We saw, Tyler Irvin come in around this time of year a couple of years ago and had those fresh legs. And sometimes you don't notice that until you get these guys that haven't been out there in that grind every week. And so if he can give you that again, I think the true test will be it's definitely a positive development. No doubt about that. True test will be if he can do that again in the next game or the game after, because even if we get some of these guys back, we may need him for some snaps down the stretch. That's for sure. So Dane, I think, we could go on about the defense. I know there were some folks a little bit frustrated with some of the laundry that was out on the field, I think on both sides of the ball, in terms of some of the penalties. And I guess I'll say this. I'm never really too fond of complaining about the refs, but the Packers are not a heavily penalized team. And it just seemed like yesterday, I don't know about you, but there, when you look at the penalties, and to be fair, both sides really didn't see a lot of blatant things that they called those penalties on. It seemed like the types of things that a lot of other officiating crews seem to let go, and they wait for the blatant calls before they throw the penalty flag. So if nothing else, that would be my biggest complaint, is it almost seemed like they were looking for penalties to throw flags on more so than letting them actually happen. You know, I know I see things through gold colored glasses. I totally acknowledge that, but I don't know. Do you agree, Dane? Again, I don't want to make this a, you know, complaining about the official session. It just, it made a difference in this game. Look how many first and 20s we had offensively. You know, obviously on the defensive side of the ball, the roughing the passer call on Kirk Cousins. And I do get that they had a similar one the other way with Rodgers later in the game. And, you know, there could have been some offensive pass interference that they didn't call. So, you know, there's this, it does have an effect. There's no doubt about that. So I'm just curious if you had any similar sentiments, or if you feel like, you know, you just have to take the good with the bad when it comes to officiating week over week.
I was pretty frustrated, I thought, with the officiating. It felt a little bit like, okay, you know, I wish I didn't have to know the name of the officials yesterday. You know, that's kind of what it felt like, is let these guys play a little bit more. And then when they let them play, it seemed to be a fair number of push-offs. And I don't want to sit here and be like, oh, they're pushing off every play. There are a couple pretty significant push-offs, I thought, offensively. But I'll tell you what, the one that really, really frustrated me was early in the game, probably inconsequential to the overall makeup of the game, but it was the Lucas Patrick head as the center when his head went up. That's crap. I don't know how else to put it, because I watched Sunday Night Football, and the center for both teams did the exact same movement about 10 times each, and they didn't get called for it. So I don't understand what that's about. And that's something that I'll argue with anybody about that, because I see that every single week, multiple times. Every team does that. They have the same exact head motion. I don't know what they're calling that on.
Well, that's the kind of thing that just sort of sets the tone for this is the kind of day it's going to be. And again, I'm not blaming the officials that the Packers lost. It did seem like the cards were a little bit stacked against us in multiple ways yesterday. So let's maybe just leave it at that. Yeah. But so and moving on then, let's flip over to the offensive side of the ball. But before we do, let's take a moment to talk about our sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NFL. Dane, I don't know if you have any updates on how your wife Andrea did on her daily fantasy over the weekend.
Wags, you should have talked her into DeGuara, I guess. Your X Factor from this week, your prediction, and then Josiah DeGuara goes out and has his first NFL touchdown. So super impressive there. It sounds like she's not faring as well as she'd hoped she would, but she's been really good most weeks using the DraftKings Sportsbook app. She used that promo code TPPN. Again, promo code TPPN, like the Pigskin Podcast Network, and was able to get a heck of a deal. She's been playing DraftKings Sportsbook all season long. She's had a lot of success. So maybe she'll have to listen to our preview podcast and hear your X Factor this week, because you picked Josiah DeGuara, and I'm sure a lot of folks that did pick Josiah on the DraftKings Sportsbook app had a pretty good week. So again, use promo code TPPN, get a heck of a deal with DraftKings Sportsbook.
That's right. So it is Turkey Week, and we've got a special no-brainer offer for new customers. Bet just $1 on any Thanksgiving NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TPPN. Bet just $1 on any Thanksgiving NFL game and win $100 in free bets if any team scores a point. That's promo code TPPN at this Thanksgiving at DraftKings Sportsbook. .com. If they win, you win. It's Must be 21 or older. New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. So, Dane, moving over to the offensive side then, I think one of the things that we really need to focus on is, yes, we put up 31 points, and I think that's the good thing, right? And Aaron Rodgers got it going in the second half. So that's a good thing. Does that carry over here to this week and moving forward for the rest of the season? MVS, your X factor. Finally, we connected on a deep ball at a key moment. So there were a lot of positives offensively. You know, one of the things that, and not to start with the negatives again, but it wasn't a bad thing per se. I thought we ran the ball okay, and I get that we were playing from behind for much of the second half, but I was a little really disappointed actually that AJ Dillon only got 11 carries. Yeah. And I'm just curious what you think. Where was the moment in this game where it felt like we kind of got away from what we wanted to do on the ground, and how that may have had an impact on our effectiveness, particularly in the first half when we weren't putting up the points and converting and getting into the end zone?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And yeah, it's so fascinating because, you know, AJ ends up with 17 touches, but I would have preferred 25 touches, you know, so with some more runs, bump up that run number closer to 16, 17 runs, and then get him some work in the passing game as well. You know, I just thought it's so interesting because the second half, Aaron really got rolling and was torching them with his arm. But I feel like in that first half, Wags, there were just some third downs and even some second downs with some ill-advised throws, I thought, from Aaron. His timing didn't look there. And it just felt like he was forcing the ball downfield, wasn't seeing the field all that well, really in that first quarter and a half, give or take, but really that first half overall. And that's a concern I have, I guess, going forward is if Aaron's toe injury continues, and those things are nasty, by the way, anybody who's like, it's just a toe, has never had a toe injury and then tried to play sports on that. That's a nasty injury. So they're trying to keep him off his feet. I'm certain of that. But it's concerning from a timing perspective. Rodgers is such a rhythm guy. One of the things that makes him so good is his rapport with Devontae, with MVS, finding those guys. And all year, Aaron's had a bit of a difficulty, I think, with the deep ball. Hasn't had that 2020 magic so much. Finally kind of got it going that second half. I'm curious to see if it does spill over. But I think that all goes back to your question about A.J. Dillon. Thought early in the first half, were there opportunities to run the ball and just set the tone that, hey, even if we're getting 1, 2, 3 yards a carry, we're going to keep running the ball. You as a Minnesota Vikings defense are going to need to commit an extra guy in the box to try to take AJ Dillon away. They went away from that early, and I thought it made them a little bit more predictable. Now, later in the game, of course, it didn't seem to matter when Rodgers was hitting these guys, but I think the Packers could have potentially been in a better situation offensively in the first half, gotten more points out of a vulnerable Vikings defense if they're running the ball just a little bit more consistently. Even if the production wasn't there, if the threat was there, I think it takes away Minnesota's top, you know, they're playing that too deep a little bit. I think it takes that away and makes Aaron Rodgers even that more effective, probably in the second quarter on.
Yeah, and that's the thing, though. The production was there. When you look at the numbers, he had 53 yards and 11 carries. So he's averaging 4.8 yards a carry. You're going to take that all day, every day. So why is he only getting 11 carries in this game? And again, I get the second half. They were more big plays, and Rodgers was cooking. It felt like that area of the field, the first series, we get it down to the Vikings, you know, 30, 35 yard line, and we stalled. And that's where I want to see us have more running plays so that we can get into a third and short situation. And then maybe we go for it on fourth down. Mm-hmm. It seems like that's an area of the field. We've been saying it for weeks, so this isn't just me this week bringing this up, that we get down to the, you know, the opponent's 25 to 35 yard line, and we're not even really getting it into the red zone. And that's for whatever reason, an area where we've struggled. And normally from an efficiency standpoint, especially when you've got a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, you're better off throwing on first down than running most of the time. That's not an every first down thing, but I will say that there are certain parts of the field where I do think that we could lean on the run a little bit more, shorten up your down and distance situations. The field is shrinking for the defense as well, and give ourselves some more manageable third down situations if we do get to third down, so that we're, you know, able to move the chains. I know that there was a few third downs in the first half that some of our buddies in our Packers group mate chat were grumbling a little bit about Aaron going deep. And I'll tell you what, I a lot of times I'm not a fan of that. I didn't say anything at the time, so I hope it doesn't seem like I'm, you know, coming back at this retrospectively. I actually didn't mind it in this game because there was something to me about taking some shots. And if Aaron and MVS could get some timing down, I just felt like if he kept being aggressive and took a few more of those shots, eventually they would connect. And that's exactly what happened. But that being said, would have I preferred that they were in a third and three instead of a third and eight? And now your whole playbook is opened up in right. that situation, and you're more likely going to be in a spot where you can pick up a first down, or even if you don't, you can even go for it on fourth down. So that's, I think, where we're missing the boat a little bit offensively, is we're asking a little bit too much, almost in a creative sense, overthinking things. Let's give the ball to AJ Dillon when we get down into that field goal range. Maybe we get a little bit closer for Mason Crosby. Now, that's not to say you should miss a 33-yard field goal, but you know, every little thing helps. And so that's where I think we can be a little bit more aggressive with the run game. And I think that'll make things a little bit simpler, and we'll be a little bit more efficient in the long run as a result of that.
Wags, what do you think about EQ? St. Brown had, I thought, best game maybe as a Packer. I mean, 3 touches, 54 yards. He played great football yesterday. I'll give him credit.
I knew it all along.
We always knew it.
We've been saying that this guy, we didn't understand why he got cut out of camp. Why isn't this guy, you know, our number two receiver? he had a good game. I think he's had a couple of moments, actually, dare I say, in the previous couple of games too, where a lot of times previous to that, I'll be honest with you, I never want to be down on a guy, but there seemed to be more "why is this guy out there" type plays. And I don't mean that disrespectfully, but when your job is to go out there for 5 to 10 snaps and you're kind of screwing things up more on both a mental and physical standpoint and not executing simple things, you're going to be under more scrutiny. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he feels that too. So maybe he just played a little bit freer. He's a little bit more confident in what he was doing, and his number has been called, and he's made a few little plays here and there. And he had a good game yesterday, no doubt about it. So I don't know if you're leading the EQ fan club now, Dane.
I'd love to see it again from EQ, but I'm happy to see the production. We want to see these guys succeed. Any way that he can get involved, or we can have other guys step up and take a little of the load off of Devontae and AJ and, you know, some of the run game, I'm all game for it. And the reality is this, Wags, there's room for other receivers to step up in this offense. Even now, Devontae's the man. MVS, awesome game yesterday. If he can put a couple more of those together, it's going to be a really successful season, I think, for him. Getting back from that injury is a huge step. You know, I promise you, I don't know this for a fact, but I can tell you he's a tough guy. He gets out there, maybe not 100% when he came back from the injury. Maybe, maybe not. I'm not his doctor. But, you know, he wanted to get out there. I know he's a gamer. So now seeing him have that, that's the MVS I think we expect. That's the guy that we saw last year, had some difficulty catching the ball last year. He's largely thrown that out the window this year. Has looked a lot more fluid catching the ball. So I'd like to see more of that from MVS. But Wags, even with that, there's room for another guy to eat. And if St. Brown wants to be that guy who can manufacture touches. You know, he had three touches for 54 yards. I promise you, they're going to try to find ways to get the ball in his hands again going forward based on what he did yesterday. Not only just getting open, but also, you know, a little bit of wiggle, I thought, from EQ. And I really like to see that. That's kind of the guy we saw coming out of college. And that injury, I think, was difficult for him a couple of years ago. To see him come back and do that yesterday, really, really encouraging. Would love to see him do it again.
Yeah, and on a day that Randall Cobb was a little bit more quiet in terms of the pass catching, only had two targets his way with one catch. So, you know, that's kind of the role he's in, right? Yeah. Like, you need someone to have that two, three touches that you can make an impact on a player to move the chains. And that's really all we're asking for. And a lot of times that is Randall Cobb, and he still had twice as many snaps as EQ did. I think Cobb was out there 45 snaps yesterday. But, you know, he's not someone in Cobb I'm talking about that you're going to count on for 5-6 receptions every week at this point in his career. He's still contributing positively overall to the offense. But certainly we need other guys to step up and make plays when they're called upon, and good for EQ in all seriousness that he did accomplish that yesterday. Dane, what did you think about the guys up front in terms of protection and kind of how they were handling things with the Vikings pass rush and just overall how they performed as a unit?
Better second half, I thought, than a first half. Billy Turner seemed to have a little bit of difficulty. More in the first half against, what's his name? Wanham for the Vikes. A couple penalties were called on him a little bit before halftime. He got that hands in the face call, which I didn't get a chance to see. So, you know, he had a holding call against him as well. You know, overall though, the O-line, they committed four other penalties. I think they kind of shared the wealth, unfortunately, throughout the first half was rough. I'll put it that way. Second half, they seemed to shore it up a little bit more, gave Aaron quite a bit more time. But at the same time, Rodgers had a couple touchdowns there. One of them, he had all day to throw. So, you know, I think it was a little bit of a mixed bag, but when they started to put it together, they put it together. Yash Nyman came in, played good football for Elton Jenkins. He's going to need to continue to do that. He's our left tackle now going forward until David Bakhtiari hopefully gets back in December. So, you know, mixed bag, but I thought they settled in a hostile environment, and that's always good to see.
Yeah, for sure. And I think speaking of Aaron Rodgers, I mean, what can you say about performance, especially in the second half? You mentioned earlier the toe is certainly a legitimate concern, but particularly when it's something that could affect his arm accuracy. You might say, well, why would his toe affect his arm accuracy? Well, because he's got to plant and push off, and his toe is going to take the brunt of that. But it didn't affect him at all yesterday, and he was connecting. One of the things that I would really like to see is if there's a thing with momentum from game to game, if it can be that deep ball, because he missed MVS a number of times in the first half. So I'm hoping that they just keep, you know, being aggressive with that, not necessarily on third down every time, but keep being aggressive with that and get that dialed in. Because if it doesn't have to be a 75-yard touchdown every week, but if they can get that vertical passing game dialed in and they can connect on one or two of those balls moving forward, that makes a big difference for this offense. It's a component that we've been missing all year, and it just opens everything up. Both, you know, obviously on the deep and a big play standpoint, but as well as underneath with the run game and everything else that you want to do. So, you know, it forces the defense to play back even further than they already are. A lot of defenses are playing kind of a two-shell look already, but the reality is that the Packers have not made teams pay over the top, and MVS was still only four receptions out of his 10 targets yesterday. So not a super efficient day, and I'm not blaming MVS for that, but if he and Rodgers can get just a tad bit more dialed in moving forward as a result coming out of this week, I think that would be a huge lift to this offense as we hit the stretch run of this season.
Wags, anything else looking at this Packers offense? We'll be doing a preview podcast later this week ahead of the Rams game here that's coming up on Sunday. But anything else on the offensive side for this week?
No, I mean, I think we touched on pretty much everything. I guess I was a little bit surprised that we didn't see a little bit more of Patrick Taylor, but he had four carries. So considering the amount of work that AJ Dillon had, I guess I shouldn't expect too much more from a percentage standpoint. You know, he didn't have a significant impact, but first extended action for him. So hopefully he can, in a smaller role, have some impact as we move forward.
I saw him in, as well. Yeah. Sorry to cut you off. I saw him also in some pass pro, and I thought he looked pretty good in the limited snaps that he played in pass protection on third down. So for what it's worth, I think that's how you stick. On these rosters is with that pass protection when you've got a three-time MVP quarterback. And I thought he looked really good overall in the pass pro when he had to be out there for that.
For sure. Well, Dane, we've gone 40 minutes, and not to cut things short, but honestly, this isn't a game that I want to spend a whole lot more time than we already have going over. We started with special teams, so I don't think we really have much else to say on that front. Why don't we hit a couple of positive things here to close out with our Big Cheese players of the week. And I think defensively, I don't know about you, I'm just going to jump in here. To me, it was definitely Preston Smith. Mm-hmm. You mentioned at the top what a positive impact he had both in the run game. He had two tackles for a loss. He had two sacks. He had three quarterback hits. That's a great performance. So I know that in a day that the defense struggled, it sometimes gets a little bit under the radar when you have an individual performance like that. But to me, Preston Smith had a really, really strong performance, and I was very pleased with how he contributed coming off of the edge. And really, I thought they did a fine job against Dalvin Cook all day, and he was getting after Kirk Cousins almost single-handedly. So kudos to Preston Smith, and he's definitely my nomination on the defensive side.
Couldn't agree more. Played impactful football all day. Really good football again from Preston Smith. A couple honorable. So I'm with you. I think that Preston is our big cheese of the week on the defensive side. And a couple honorable mention are Dairyland, some dominators for us. I would say Tipa Nalei played really good, played a lot of snaps, played 35 snaps. And I would say Tyler Lancaster as well, played a really, really complete game on the defensive side of the ball, defensive line. You mentioned the Packers bottling up Dalvin Cook. Look no further than I thought Big Lanny playing some pretty good football as well. But completely agree with you, Preston Smith, dominating performance from that linebacker. At a time when we needed pass rush, he brought it.
Yeah, for sure. So jumping over to the offensive side of the ball, you know, there's a couple guys. I don't know who to give more credit to, Aaron Rodgers or Devontae Adams. To me, it comes down to those two. I'm just going to go with Aaron Rodgers. On a day where he threw for 385 yards and four touchdowns, no interceptions. I mean, what he did in the second half single-handedly gave the Packers an opportunity to win this game. Spread the ball around. Had two, obviously, with Devontae, but then MVS late, mixing in DeGuara. I thought he was efficient in how he used A.J. Dillon as a receiver out of the backfield. So it's oftentimes a super high bar to name Aaron as our Big Cheese Offensive Player of the Week. But this was a week I thought he clearly earned that designation. So for me, I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers.
I'm thinking Jordan Love after his one snap performance to end the half. No, it's Aaron Rodgers. Spot on, 100%. He heated up. I thought he was destined for a pretty off game that first quarter. So he just looked like he was, you know, not making all the throws. He proved me wrong. Not that he cares what I say, but he proved the heck of a, you know, me wrong there with just an incredible second half. I believe it was his one of his statistically best quarterback performances in a loss. I wish that we didn't have to be a loss, but he played really great football. And I felt like, Wags, if he got that ball back, if Savage came down with that interception, Packers are winning that game. Rodgers looked dialed in. He looked like he was going to tear the hearts out of Minnesota Vikings. So it's a shame he wasn't able to get that ball. Want to give some Dairyland Dominator performances as well. Curious if you have any, but I'd give one to St. Brown. I thought he played really good football. It's good to see him getting back out there and contributing to this offense.
Well, that's fine. I'm not going to give it to him over MVS or Devontae Adams, though, from a receiver standpoint. But I guess from what you expect, that's fair. You wouldn't expect EQ to have a few impact plays necessarily. So from that perspective, I'm fine with that. I just don't know if I would call it a dominating performance compared to other two receivers that were 100-plus yards and a few touchdowns that they contributed to the game. But I won't argue with you, Dane. That's fine. We need to move on from this one. I think special teams-wise, I really don't have any. But do you have any that you wanted to nominate when you look at special teams as a whole? I know that Mason Crosby is sort of the main thing that we're thinking and talking about right now. But if I'm missing someone, please go ahead and nominate them now.
No, I got nothing. I thought Bohorquez did a nice job of picking that ball up. That could have been a disaster early in the game. But other than that, no, I don't have anybody that really stood out, unfortunately.
Yep. Okay. Very good. Well, Dane, any closing thoughts as we kind of put this one to bed?
I'm ready for a bye week. So it'd be really nice if we could take care of business against Los Angeles and then head into the bye with a win. It's going to be a really difficult performance. So be on the lookout for our preview podcast ahead of Sunday's game, be coming out in the next few days. But I agree. I'm ready to wipe this bad taste out of my mouth. We've been fortunate. I've only had three of these this year so far. Packers weren't going to go undefeated. They weren't going to win out. I'd rather them take their lumps now. They need to get healthy. They need to buy. They need to, you know, get a little bit of a rest. But before that, they got to go win another football game. And I think that'd go a long way in them securing a playoff spot.
Yeah. I mean, again, I said at the top, we got to go big picture. Big picture is that when you look at the schedule, we've got four home games in our last six games. And I think just overall, you know, no game is ever a gimme in the NFL. But the schedule overall, aside from getting more home games, I think after this Rams game, realistically, it's just not quite as daunting as it's been for the last month. So if, and that's a big if, because I think we're assuming that some of these guys back, and I think we will. But that said, I'm hoping it's sooner than later because we need that lift. In addition to the bye, we need the lift of some of these guys that have been on the shelf for a while to come back and hopefully be healthy and hopefully be able to help us out for this stretch run. So we do that, you know, I think not only will we win the division easily, but we still have everything in front of us for a potential one seed, believe it or not. So, you know, there's a lot to play for sure. And as frustrating as a loss like that can be, thankfully, we've built up enough that we didn't need that game nearly as bad as the Vikings did. And so we're going to be fine. I think just big picture coming out of it. So,
yeah,
folks, thanks so much for listening. And I think with that, we're going to sign off. As always, go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
We're gonna go hard. We've been that team ever since Bart Starr. All my cheese heads go Pack Go. Ain't show with no mercy, cutting no slack, no. I ain't a bad sport and I'll even wish you good luck. Only thing I will say.